You are listening to the weekly podcast of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. This weekend, Family Pastor Dustin Agard will continue with our summertime series called Character Content. Today, we will continue looking at the fruits of the Spirit. This time, we'll look at God's kindness. The big message here is that acknowledging God's kindness in our lives ultimately leads us to giving kindness to others. Our scripture text comes from John chapter 15, starting in verse 5. Today's message is entitled, The Kindness of God.
Good morning, Journey. How we doing? Yes. Y'all are awake. I like it. This is good. Good deal. Well, my name's Dustin Agard, and as Pastor John said, I get to serve as your family pastor and absolutely honored to be able to do so and excited to continue this series called Character Content as we open up in kindness and gentleness. But before we do, we are just several days away from two of my favorite holidays. On the 4th of July is one that we all celebrate. Not as many people celebrate the 5th of July. The 5th of July is when a lot of videos get posted on YouTube. And that is one of my favorite holidays. And so this is what I want to do. Just a quick PSA that if you are going to do something maybe a little crazy, all I ask is that you just videotape it. That's all I ask. We want to talk about how can we have kindness that doesn't result in harming the people that we love. And so we're going to dive into that today. And some of you remember what it was like before Redbox. Some of you remember what it was like before Netflix. If you wanted to watch a movie on a Friday night, there was only one place. Where would you go? Blockbuster. If you have no idea what we're talking about, just get out right now. Blockbuster was this building that you would go into, and they had limited number of movies, meaning they would only have like three of the movie that you wanted. And so what would have to happen is you would have to, at 5 o'clock when you got off work, you would have to rush there. Okay, you would have to rush there, hurry up and get the movie you wanted. You had to know what it was because everybody's got the same game plan. And if they didn't have your movie, you had to do the walk of shame. You had to go into the living room and tell your family, sorry, kids, dad's failed you this week. But if you're one of the lucky ones and you got that video, then you would sit down, you would bring the family together, you get the popcorn ready, you would get the candy, you'd be on the couch, you put it in, then you press play. And then a lot of times what would happen is you would see one of two things. Either the very end of the movie and it just ruined your entire experience, or the closing credits. And this actually became such a big thing that Blockbuster came out with a campaign to try to help. And it was this right here. Be kind and rewind. How many of y'all remember that? Yeah. So I remember growing up as a kid, this is great. I could actually figure out if I'm kind. All I have to do is hit rewind. If I hit rewind, then that meant I was a kind person. And if I didn't, I was evil. That was my standard. And then my accountability partner, Blockbuster, went away and I had no idea to figure out if I was kind or not anymore. And as I grew up, I realized it's a little bit more cloudy. And so we want to talk about this idea of what does it mean to be kind, but not just what does it mean to be kind, what does it mean to recognize the kindness of God, which I think is even more important than being kind to others. And so what we want to look at is both kindness and gentleness, and so many times we're kind of, we understand both of them, but we can't articulate what they mean or the difference. So let me explain a little bit of the difference between kindness and gentleness. Kindness is what we are called to do. Gentleness is how we do it. Kindness is an action. Gentleness is a posture. Gentleness is restrained power. Kindness is power used to benefit others. There's an incredible Hall of Fame coach by the name of John Wooden. Many of you have probably heard of him. He was a basketball coach at UCLA for many years. I believe he won 11 national championships. And as great of a coach as he was an even better man, an even better man of God. And he had this characteristic of kindness and gentleness when he coached, which in the coaching industry is very unique. It's missing. There's not a lot of gentleness and kind coaches, but yet he was able to do that and still win. And somebody asked him one day, so where did you learn these traits? And he remembered a story of growing up, true story that he experienced with his dad. You see, he's from rural Indiana in a farm county, and basically what they would do is they would put these teams of horses or mules together with and pack them up with gravel, and they would go around and fill these gravel pits. And one day, John and his dad, they're out, and they notice that there's a team of horses that is stuck in the gravel pits, and they're not getting out. And so the owner of the horses begins to cuss at them, yell at them, whip them, and just all this anger trying to get them to go, but of course their heels are dug in, and they won't budge. And then finally, John's dad says, "Hey, can I help you, sir?" And he says, good luck, give it a try. And so John's father walks up to the horses, just calm, gentle spirit, and slowly just begins to pet the horses. And then begins to talk to them so quietly that it's almost a whisper. And within minutes, he begins to walk them out on their own, out of the pit that they were stuck in, and it left John marked. And he said, "This is the lesson I learned that day." He said, "It takes strength on the inside to be gentle on the outside." What a good word. It takes strength on the inside to be gentle on the outside. And I want to help some of us. Some of us have a theological problem today. Theological meaning what we believe about God. You see, some of us are in here and you believe that God is like the first farmer that was whipping and cussing and yelling at the horses. And that's your picture of God. When you mess up, he's going to whip you or cuss you or get angry. And that's not the picture of God. Our God is a gentle God. Our God is a kind God. Our God is a God that walks slowly to you and whispers in your ear and says, "You are good enough. You have what it takes. You are my beloved." He's a gentle God. And so if we don't do anything today, may we right-size our theology and realize that God is a gentle and kind God. If you were to summarize kind of today's message in one kind of sentence, it would be this. It would be acknowledging God's kindness in our lives leads us to giving kindness to others. Acknowledging God's kindness in our lives leads us to giving kindness to others. If we were just to kind of guess what kindness we were going to talk about today, a lot of us would go here, being kind to others. And we completely skip the idea of recognizing the kindness of God. But I think it's more important to recognize and celebrate the kindness of God in our life, because when we do that, kindness to others is a knee-jerk reaction. It's the fruit. You don't have to try to be kind. You're so overwhelmed with God's kindness that you just are kind. And that's what fruit means. That's what fruit is all about. Kind of two ways to process this. Being kind without recognizing God's kindness could lead to either pride or exhaustion. Meaning if you're always kind, you're just being kind to other people, but you don't recognize that God's been kind to you and is kind to you, then that could lead to either pride or exhaustion. Or maybe you recognize that God's been kind to you, but you have a problem being kind to others. That would make us hoarders of kindness. And I don't want to be a hoarder of kindness. I want to give as freely as I receive. Amen? John 15:5 says this. This is a verse that we've been talking about in this series. Pastor John's mentioned multiple times. It says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." You see, what I want to make sure we understand when it comes to kindness, this is not a self-help book. This is not a work harder. This is not work on this more. It's a come closer. It's not pull up your sleeves to figure out how to do kindness and Christianity better. No, God's saying, no, come to me. Just abide in me. Rest in me and you will take on the characteristics that I have. Don't go out and try to do it on your own. Just come and abide. Because apart from me, you could do nothing, but with me, you can do all things. I kind of want to walk us through two different parts today. The first part, I want to talk about the kindness of God. And then the second part, kind of the kindness towards one another. 2 Samuel 7:18 says this. It says, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought us this far?" What's David doing here? He's recognizing the kindness of God. He's crying out to God, "God, who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought us this far?" He's recognizing the kindness of God in his life. Powerful, powerful truth. A friend of mine named Kevin, he introduced me to this idea to help me recognize the kindness of God in my life. It's called First and Ten. And the idea is this. It's that the very first thing that we do when we wake up is we remember the 10 things that God's done for us the previous day. First and Ten. And so one of the things that we've kind of worked on in our family is I take the kids to school. And so every day on the way to school is we work on this idea of first and 10. So taking the kids to school, say, okay, guys, what are the 10 things that we are grateful for God doing in the previous 24 hours? And so they'll just rattle things off and we'll just go in a circle. And some days are quicker, some days are longer. But what are we doing on the way to school? We're remembering the kindness of God in our life. And it doesn't have to be major things. It doesn't always have to be, you know, I got this or we sold the house. It could be, hey, Dad, yesterday was pizza day. Woohoo! You know, that's awesome. Game changer, pizza day. Let's go. When we start recognizing the kindness of God in the smaller things, I think that's even more valuable sometimes than the bigger things. God, thank you for pizza day. I love pizza. You were kind to me. Thank you. God, my show was on last night. I love that show. Thank you. I got to watch it. God, my team was on. They didn't win because I'm a Floridian, but thank you for letting me watch them. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Just a couple years, Lord. Give us a couple years. Come on. Recognizing the kindness of God. So this is what I want to do. I want to walk us through this exercise this morning, just together out loud, kind of what we would do as a family. You see, this past week, we were able to, last week, we were able to go and take our high schoolers to camp. Many of you know this because you were praying for us. Many of you know this because you were supporting us and encouraging us along the way. And I just want to say thank you for that. And so we're not going to walk through all 10 things that we could rejoice. We could rejoice more than 10, but we'll kind of do first and five since we're on a little bit of a time crunch. So here's where we're at. First and five, one of the things that I'm thankful for is one of our leaders named Alex. Alex had a friend on the trip that had a rough day, and her friend was just struggling with some things. And I watched Alex, just with the love of God, just sit and stand and walk with her throughout that very difficult day. And she put her arm around her, and she said, hey, I care about you. She rearranged her schedule. She did whatever she could to take care of her friend. And I thought, God, thank you for being so kind to give us leaders that love the way you love. That's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that led us to a student that I'll call Johnny. Johnny's not his real name. I'll just share a story regarding Johnny. Johnny was, the past several months, he was spiraling downhill. He wasn't doing good, and he kind of spiritually limped into camp, probably not even sure why he was there. In the first couple days, he kind of was probably stiff-arming God, and then, just like God's done to so many of us, he just broke our heart. In the middle of camp, I saw God bury Johnny and resurrect a whole new Johnny. And all of a sudden, the hands of surrender were lifted, and I just saw this person change dramatically. And I'm talking radical change in moments like that, which is what God loves to do, bring dead things to life. To the point where the last night we were there, Johnny comes up to us and says, hey, man, God has transformed me. I want to share what God's doing in my life in case it might be able to help somebody else, because what he's doing in me is real. And so that Friday night, he shared his story, and so many other people were impacted because of what Johnny's story did. You see, we could take kids to camp, but we can't change hearts. That's God. That's the kindness of God. One of the things that the kindness of God has done as well is he brought in an incredible student director, student ministry director. This is Christian. He's been with us for a couple weeks. And his wife, Emily. Emily's been here for a couple days. I think they're right here, Christian and Emily. So Christian's been here a couple days. Christian's been here a couple weeks. She's been here a couple days. And it's the kindness of God. Christian and Emily, we are so grateful to have you. And guys, I got to tell you, I wish y'all could have been at camp just to see Christian lead. Here's one picture of him. He's just praying over a student. I don't know the whole story, but this is just what he did all week. He's just a pastor and a shepherd at heart, and he was constantly leading and praying for and shepherding students. That's the kindness of God to give us a leader like Christian and Emily in our ministry. One time we came out, it was one of the first days, we come out of this building and it is just pouring down. I mean, it is hard rain, pouring down raining. And our dorm is about 100 yards away. One of the other dorms was probably 150 yards away. And so if you're going from A to B, it's going to look like you just jumped in a lake. And some of the kids only had like two outfits. So they're like, nah, you know, that's just real talk. Okay, so So all of a sudden you have these students that come out and they're looking at it and all of a sudden they were tempted to what we call get on the complain train. And they're like, man, what do we do? And Christian in his leadership, he has a portable sound boom box, like a speaker, and he just hooks it up to some music. And right there, he turns what was a downpour into a party. He ended up having a dance party right there to where other students started joining in. Other people from all over started joining us. And there was one student that was up the hill. He just said, I'm not going to wait to dance when I get there. I'm going to dance on my way down. And this is what he looked like. How much do you want to be this kid? Where you're like, listen, I don't have a worry in the world. I'm dancing in the rain in front of everybody. And that's exactly what I told JC. I said, JC, don't ever change. Right. You dance in the rain all day, every day. So that's the kindness of God to give us a leader that could turn downpours into parties. It's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God that I believe that we saw what I would say is the beginning stirrings of what I'm praying for of revival. You see, we took the most ever students we've ever taken, and that doesn't really do much. A lot of people could take a big crowd, but what God did in that crowd is we saw 7 first-time decisions, 11 rededications, and 4 people called to vocational ministry, which is incredible. Absolutely incredible. But what's even more powerful than the numbers was the Spirit. And I'm not great. I can't articulate the Spirit. There was something there that was marking that everybody left saying, I don't know what just happened, but God was stirring. Like there was a sense of unity. There was a sense of the hovering of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this idea that the Holy Spirit hovers when people are leaning in, and students were leaning in. And we're praying that it was the beginning of revival. One of the things that I'm thankful for God's kindness is he introduced me to this guy right here. This is Blake. This is Blake, aka Firefly. You see, I met Firefly maybe 18 days ago. He was not a part of our student ministry. We've never met. It was just a divine appointment that he and I ended up hanging out at Steak and Shake and having a conversation over some milkshakes. And we were days away from camp, and I felt a pressing of the Holy Spirit say, hey, he needs to be at camp. God has something in store for his life. And so I said, hey, Blake, I know we don't know each other. Like we literally just met, but how about we hang out for an entire week at camp next week? And he was like, okay. That was awesome. He's like, sweet. So he comes to camp. I have no idea what to expect. He has no idea what to expect. And the first night, it's light outside. We go into a session, but when we come out, it's sunset. And when we come out, our group is going this way, and he begins to go that way, and he got lost for a little bit. And we kind of circle back together after a little while. We find him. I said, Blake, what happened, buddy? And he said, well, I came out of the session, and I saw you guys go that way and up the hill, but I saw fireflies going this way. And I said, tell me more. And he said, well, I knew y'all were going this way, but I've never seen fireflies. And so I started following the fireflies. I said, okay. And he said, so then I kept keeping an eye on you, but the fireflies were too intriguing that I just kept following them and drifting and drifting. And then I looked up and I started following you until they got back to their dorm and I realized it was the wrong group. And he's telling us this in a group setting. And so from that moment on, he became Firefly. And I don't know what God has in store for him, but I know out of the kindness of God's heart, he allowed 2 people that didn't know each other. Now I can't imagine our student ministry without Firefly. That's the kindness of God. That's the kindness of God. And so I want to encourage you to somehow work in this exercise of 1st and 10. Right there, we just took 3 or 4 minutes to go through 5 things. But when you and I begin to recognize the kindness of God in our life, what it does is it supernaturally softens your heart and it exposes our eyesights to more of what God's already doing. God's doing it. It's just we're either seeing it or missing it. It's just so much better to be with God and what he's doing than to miss it. And some of you are here, you're going through a difficult season, or I don't know what might be happening in your life, and you're just thinking, man, there is no kindness of God in my life. And I would politely beg to differ. You see, I think there's kindness in everybody's life. I think just sometimes we take our eyes off of Jesus. You see, when Peter was walking on the water, he said, I could walk on water when my eyes were on Jesus. But when I took them off and I started looking at the problems and the waves and the wind, that's when I began to sink. That's when I begin, in a sense, to realize there wasn't maybe a kindness of God, but there was a kindness of God. You just took your eyes off Jesus. And so maybe what we have to do today is just shift our eyes and put them back on Jesus and realize the kindness of what he's doing in our life. Because when I read John 3:16, that's the kindness of God. This is what John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's the kindness of God. I don't deserve that kind of love, but out of his kindness, out of his gentleness, he gives it to us freely. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." You see, God is so kind that he accepts you right where you're at, but he's also so loving to allow you to stay there. And so God takes you where you're at, but he said, "Watch what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna create in you a new creation." That's the kindness of God. You guys don't want BC, Dustin. That's before Christ, Dustin. You don't want that, I promise you. It was ugly. But out of the kindness of God, he is every day slowly changing me and more to become like him. That's the kindness of God. If you have your Bible, you go ahead and open it to Luke chapter 13. We're gonna hang there for a minute. Luke chapter 13. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke 13, verse 10. If you don't have your Bible, it's all good. I'm going to go ahead and just read it to you. Luke 13, 10, it says this. It says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God." That's the kindness of God. Can we agree that that's the kindness of God? Okay. Kindness of God. And all throughout scripture, he's doing this. He's healing people. He's constantly doing miracles. He's healing. 18 years she was crippled. It's the kindness of God. But that's verse 10 through 13. There's a verse 14 and something changes. Verse 14, "Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people." So the kindness of God just shown himself, but somebody missed the kindness of God. Actually, somebody became indignant when the kindness of God showed up. And so let me ask you, what makes you indignant when the kindness of God shows up and is on display in somebody else's life? And instead of seeing the kindness of God, you miss it. Maybe it's somebody that you know got a promotion, but you're living paycheck to paycheck, and so you don't see that as the kindness of God on them. You become indignant. Maybe it's somebody that just got engaged and you're still single, and so instead of seeing that as the kindness of God on that person, you become indignant. What is it that makes you indignant to where you all of a sudden have a hardened heart and you miss the kindness of God? Because God is constantly doing things all over. And sometimes we have a heart that is more hardened because we become indignant. And so I want to transition a little bit from the kindness of God to kindness to one another. Proverbs 3:3 says this, says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you." To some of you, that's a no-brainer. Well, like, duh, don't stop being kind. But 15 years ago, that wasn't a no-brainer for me. You see, 15 years ago, I had a situation. It was at Walmart, and no good story starts at "I was at Walmart." This just don't happen. And kind of the backstory to this is I was in youth ministry, and somebody donated me a car. And I don't know if they loved me or hated me, because it was one of those station wagons where the seats face the rear. Do you know what I'm talking about? The only car in America that seats 9, like literally. I didn't have it 40 years ago. I had it 15 years ago, okay? So it literally had an odometer that counted down. It counted actually down, not up. And so I told my wife, if it gets down to 10,000 miles, I'm selling it. So God had given us a car. We were so grateful, and it was a big car. I mean, it was awesome. Free, 100% free. There was a grandma in the church who said, "Hey, take it. I don't know what to do with it. You take it. And I'm coming out of Walmart, and I just have a few things, throw them in the car. And as I go to get in my car, I kind of see somebody out of my peripheral vision, and it's this older lady, and she's pushing one cart, and she's pulling another one. And she's got boxes, massive boxes. I think it may have been a TV and some other things. And I had two thoughts. I thought, one, there's no way she's going to get all that in her car. She had some small car. There's no way that was all getting in her car. And two, there's no way she could by herself put it all in. And so I thought, you know what? I need to offer to maybe have her put it in my car and take it home. Take it to her house, not my house. Take it home. Ma'am, how are you doing today? Would you like me to take that home for you to my house? That would be awesome. It's kindness of God, ma'am. And so I had the thought, I need to offer to take it to her house. You see, I was also I don't think I was running late. I was just busy. I was always busy. And so I knew what I should do, and I looked up at her. I never said a word to her. I got in my car, and I left that day. I didn't help her. Not at all. I have no idea what she did. And it wrecked me. What happened that day? I forgot about the kindness of God. I forgot how good and kind God has been to me that day. And because I failed to remember the kindness of God in my own life, I didn't give it away to anybody else that day. You see, if I were to remember the kindness of God that day, I would have gladly said, hey, let's throw your stuff in my car. Let's throw you on top and let's go to your house. Let's go. And here I am 15 years later, and it still marks me. Why? Because I forgot to keep kindness at the forefront. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. You know what I know about Journey is y'all are a bunch of angel entertainers. You are. You don't even know it, but you are entertaining angels. That's what I love about Journey. You're so kind. A couple months ago, I was in the lobby before a service, and I met a young gentleman, and he looked completely new. I'll just say that. He looked like he was by himself, didn't fit in, and so I introduced myself. I said, hey, how you doing? And listened to a story a little bit, just got out of prison, maybe in his young 20s. And he just, I don't know if he Googled it, didn't know a soul here. He just wanted to come to church. He just needed God. And so he came here. I said, man, do you have a Bible? He didn't have a Bible. So I went to my office to grab a Bible, but it was raining outside. So I said, hey, you stay here. Let me go and I'll be right back. And came to get a Bible. As soon as I walked back into the lobby, somebody kind of grabs my arm, says, hey, Pastor Dustin, come here. I need to introduce you to somebody. And I'm thinking, I said, okay, but it's got to be quick. I got somebody waiting. And she says, hey, this is my friend. And she introduces me to the person that I was already speaking with. You see, the person that grabbed my arm, she was an older woman. They couldn't be more polar opposites. And I said, this is your friend. And she said, yeah, this is my friend. I said, well, how do you know him? Oh, well, we just met, but man, he's an incredible young man. And let me tell you a story and this and that. I thought, you're an angel entertainer. She didn't know he got out of prison. She didn't know the hardship that he's been going through. She had no idea that she just gave a young man with no hope a grandma. She had no idea. That's the kindness that Journey has. You're angel entertainers. A couple weeks ago, I saw somebody that worships towards the front, and I'm in the back, and I saw this person kind of make their way throughout the service from the front to the back, and I was trying to figure out what was going on, and this person made his way to the back to help a couple get in their wheelchairs and get to their car in the parking lot. That's an angel entertainer. Journey's full of angel entertainers. There's a good friend of mine named Coach Bo. Coach Bo coaches middle school basketball, and he has a gas station on lockdown, is what he would say. He says, that is my gas station. So what do you mean that is your gas station? He says, well, I go there once, two, three times a day, and I've seen this. And so I had to start asking him questions about it. Every time he goes there, he buys a drink for himself, but he also buys a drink for one or two or three other people. Every time. And he goes there multiple times a day. That is his mission field. He said, this gas station is my mission field. And he often goes. He has a routine just like all of us. So now he's starting to pick up, and other people are like, hey, Coach Bo, what time are you going to be there tomorrow? You know, because I could use a free drink. And if you ever ask Coach Bo, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing better than I deserve. What's he saying? He's saying, God's been kind to me. He's so good. And he just says, you know what? This is my opportunity just to give the love of God, the kindness of God away to others. And if you ever meet Coach Bo, he's got a big old smile that can't come off, because this is what I know. I've never met an unhappy, kind person. Pastor Roddy mentioned that several weeks back, that he's never met a generous, unhappy person. I've never met an unkind or an unhappy, kind person. So let me phrase it this way. What if God wants you to be kind to other people and it doesn't have anything to do with them, but it has everything to do with you? What if God wants you to be kind because he wants to do something in you and not them? You see, God's got unlimited resources. He doesn't need you to go buy somebody a Coke. He needs you to have a heart to do it. Because when you have the heart to do it, it changes things. It changes how you look. It changes everything about you. Think about that. Never met a kind, unhappy person. And so maybe you're here and you're one of them. I'm sure they're not in this room, probably maybe online. You're one of these grumpy old men. And you're thinking, man, I just need to snap out of it. What do I do? Start being kind. God's gonna change you. Your family is not gonna know what happened, okay? They're gonna freak out for a little bit. But over time, you're gonna see God do something in you. Just start being kind to people. It'll freak people out. When I was in the third grade, I moved from this area. I was at Lockhart Elementary, and I moved from this area to College Park, more towards downtown. And it could have been the same as if I moved from here to California. I mean, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know a soul. And it was in the summer, and you know, it's hard to meet new friends over the summer. And one day I get a knock on my door. And there's another kid my age. He's in third grade. And third graders, we at that time, we all lack social skills. So this third grade boy, his parents forced him to come over. He has no idea who we are. We've never met. And I open the door and he's just doing this. And he says, my mom, she made you this apple pie. Here you go. And I live five houses that way. If you ever want to play, come to my house. And I did. It's a big difference when you go to a school and you know nobody versus you know one person. And by the kindness of their heart, they came over with an apple pie. And that summer, he became my best friend. He became my best friend in middle school, in high school. We went to college together. We were college roommates. He went into youth ministry. Our lives paralleled each other. And now we still talk almost every other week, still my best friend. And now he is the lead professor for youth ministry at Flagler College, and his name is Spanky. At least that's how I found out in third grade, and that's all I'm calling him, is Spanky. And so I just think, man, the mom, he was okay kind, you know, but it was really the mom that was being kind. She made an apple pie. First off, I don't even like apple pie. She made an apple pie, brought it to our house just to be kind. She had no idea that it was gonna be decades worth of friendship behind that one act of kindness. And this is what I think took place in Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, she was just delighting in God by being kind. And God said, watch this. I'm going to give you something that you can't make. You can make an apple pie, but you can't make decades of friendship. And God says, I'm going to come around you. When you delight yourself in me, I'm going to come around you and give you the things that you can't make. I can make them, but you can't. I love that. One act of kindness led to decades of friendship. Bless me beyond measure. And so I don't want you to raise hands because some of you would lie, but have you ever played truth or dare? Don't raise your hand. I'm gonna challenge you to play truth or dare this week, but listen to the rules. Some of y'all played different than I'm about to explain, and y'all are judging me. I didn't say I played, I just said I heard of it, okay? This is what I want you to do this week. A couple things. One, I'm gonna say this in closing. One, I want to encourage you, practice first and 10. Recognize the kindness of God in your life. It could be on your way to work and you're just saying, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Recognize the kindness of God. And then I want you to do truth or dare. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to say one true, kind thing about somebody. Or I dare you to do one kind act towards somebody. And these are the three groups of people that I would encourage you to do it for. Somebody in your family, a friend, and a stranger. You see, there are people that are really good at loving their family and struggle with loving their neighbor. There are people that are really good at loving their neighbor, but struggle with loving their family. And so I would say, don't just pick one of those. Try to do all three and just see what happens. Here's an example of a kind truth you can give. You can go out to lunch today and ask to see the manager and say, hey, I just want you to know, Stephanie, she's doing an incredible job. I just want you to know she's been kind. She's been on it. That's a kind truth that can change her day, week, or month. And it costs you nothing. An old marker. And so let's go out and let's recognize the kindness of God. And then let's go out and give it away just as freely as we receive it. Let me pray for us. So Heavenly Father God, when I think about how kind you are to me, to be honest, it's overwhelming. And if I were to write a book of how kind you are to me, it would make so many people in the world so angry because you are just so kind to us. It would seem like you have favorites, but you don't. You just love everybody like that. You're just so kind. And God, would you just continue to open our eyes? Would you continue to soften our hearts to be able to see the kindness and the gentleness that you give us? Would you help us to recognize and celebrate it, whether it's in our life or in the life of somebody else? Would you help us to see what you're doing and celebrate it in our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our enemies? Because you are a kind God. And God, just as freely as we receive your kindness, would you help us to give it away to others? God, would you help us to resist that we have to wake up and try to be kind, but would it be more of a abiding in you automatic fruit kindness that comes from just being with our Father? Thank you for being kind and gentle. We love you and we praise you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, The Kindness of God with Family Pastor Dustin Agard. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.